Holes in the Tapestry. Read. The witch called Lou stepped from the crown prince with a smirk as I approached. I did a double take, whereas before her eyes had shone with grief, with near unfathomable loss, they now sparkled with a wicked intent. I frowned as the other witch, Coco, stepped in front of her, breaking my line of sight. Was she... I stared at them incredulously. Was she pulling Lou's neckline down? I averted my eyes, furious, but glanced back as Celine leaned over to pinch Lou's cheeks. Beside me, Jean-Luc broke into a jog. He didn't seem to notice Lou's décolletage. He saw only Celine. Spinning her around, he cupped her face and kissed her, straight on the mouth, in front of us all. Though Celie's eyes flew open in surprise, she didn't protest. Indeed, she even wrapped her arms around his neck, smiling against his lips.
"You're here," she said happily.
He returned her smile before resting his forehead against hers. I stared at them. I hadn't seen Jean smile since we were children.
"I'm here," he breathed.
Something shifted in her expression. Her smile faltered.
"You're here?"
She blinked up at him in confusion.
"Why are you here?"
"Yes, Jean."
I stalked forward, careful to keep one eye on Lou. She kept both on me. Unease snaked down my spine, further inflaming my fury.
"Why are you here?"
Lou sauntered forward, still grinning. I refused to retreat a step, not a single one.
"I could pose the same question to you, Chas."
She batted her lashes and trailed a finger across my chest.
"Just couldn't stay away, could you?"
I caught her wrist and stepped closer, baring my teeth. I longed for my balisarda, heartily. "You've clearly tampered with my memories, witch. I want them back." She tilted her face toward mine, unperturbed.
"I don't think I can help you with that."
"You can, and you will."
"Only the witch who cast the enchantment can break it."
Coco's hip knocked into Lou as she swept past us, pushing Lou flush against me. She winked.
"In this case, that means you."
My jaw clenched, and I lifted my hands to Lou's shoulders to forcibly remove her.
"You lie."
"Why would we lie? Trust us when we say you aren't exactly fun to be around. Not like this, anyway. If there was a way for us to reverse your memory, we would have already done it."
Coco lifted a shoulder as she stepped on the path.
"You'll need to do it, or no one will." "A pity that."
Lou thrust her pack against my chest. I caught it instinctively.
"Guess you'll have to stay with us until you figure it out."
She followed Coco, without a backward glance, swaying her hips as she went. My lip curled in disgust. She wore trousers. Fitted ones. Leather. They adhered to her delicate shape in a distasteful way, indecent even. Shaking my head, I tore my gaze away to stare at the pack in my hands. I suspected she was anything but delicate.
"Answer the question, Jean."
Celie's voice reclaimed my attention. She scowled up at Jean-Luc, fierce and unrelenting.
"You said the priests, the king, requested your presence at the conclave."
"They did."
"You disobeyed them."
"I..." He tugged at his collar. "I had to see you." Her eyes narrowed in suspicion.
"Why? Why are you here? Did you?"
Those accusing eyes cut to mine.
"Did he think I couldn't do this? Did he think I would die at the first opportunity?"
"You did almost fall from a cliff," Jean-Luc muttered defensively. When Celie's face contorted in shock, in outrage, he added,
"What? You did? I spoke with Father Achille." "You spoke with Father Achille?"
Celie's voice could have frozen water. Abruptly, she stepped away from him, her neck and spine snapping impossibly straight, taut as a bow.
"Have you been following me?"
I
Well, I... Of course I have.
He rubbed a sheepish hand across his neck.
How could I not? For how long?
He hesitated, clearly reluctant.
Since Caesarine?
Her expression emptied of all emotion.
You abandoned your post. You forsook the conclave.
No,
Jean-Luc shook his head vehemently. I delegated my duties before I left. I ensured the king and your parents would remain protected.
Do my parents know? Did you tell them that you planned to follow me?
He looked deeply uncomfortable now. Yes. At her intense, cold stare, he hastened to add,
We had to know you were safe, Celie. I couldn't bear the thought of anything.
She didn't allow him to finish. Instead, she bludgeoned him in the chest with her own pack, turning on her heel to follow Coco and Lou. He staggered beneath its weight.
Celie,
when she didn't turn, his voice grew louder, imploring,
Celie, please, wait!
She whirled suddenly, fists clenched.
I do not need a keeper, Jean. This may come as a surprise, but I can take care of myself. I may be a woman, I may be gentle and meek and refined like a pretty doll, but I have survived more in my 18 years than you and my parents combined. Do not mistake me for porcelain. Do not mistake me for weak.
She left without another word. Struggling to hold her bag, Jean-Luc tried to follow, but the crown prince clapped his shoulder, further upsetting his balance. He pitched forward with a curse.
Bad luck, man.
Beau didn't lift a finger to set him right.
I think there might be actual bars of gold in there,
he shrugged.
The Melusines liked her best.
She's wearing trousers,
Jean-Luc said incredulously, panting now.
Celie!
Tension radiated across my face, shoulders, neck. I cared for none of this. The witches, their lies, their clothes.
Tasteless wardrobes aside, however, the women had disappeared around the bend. We couldn't afford to lose them. I couldn't afford to lose them, not with my memory at stake. Despite their deceit, they would help me restore my memories, or I would cut the very lies from their tongues. I just needed patience. Scowling, I hitched Lou's bag higher. Where are we going?
Beau started after them without waiting for either of us.
I believe to pillage a castle.
Jean-Luc acquired 2 additional horses at the next village to speed our travel. When he extended a hand to Celie to help her mount his own, she knocked it aside and ascended herself. She now sat formal and straight in his saddle while he perched behind her. That left 4 of us. I glared at the witches, prepared to tie them behind as Jean-Luc had tied me. Beau had a different idea. Without giving me a chance to speak, to protest, he ushered Coco astride the second horse, hoisting himself up after her. That left 2 of us for the last horse. And it was unacceptable. Give me the rope, I stomped to Jean-Luc's side, seizing his bag. The coil sat at the top. Right, squaring my shoulders, I turned to face the witch. The others watched in rapt fascination.
Don't make this difficult.
Her eyes fell to the rope in my hand. Her smile faltered.
You're kidding.
I don't kid. Give me your wrists. You can walk behind the horse.
Fuck you.
Coco slid from her own horse now, coming to stand beside Lou.
Don't make us tie you to the horse, Reed.
She lifted her wrist to place a thumbnail upon it. A threat. If you talk to her like that again, it would be my pleasure. My hands tightened on the rope.
Try.
Beau rolled his eyes.
Honestly, brother, will you insist on this asshattery at every turn? If so, it's going to be a very long trip. I'm not riding anywhere with that witch.
Without my balisarda, I was virtually defenseless. She could attack me, even now, and I wouldn't be able to stop her.
As if sensing that thought, Lou snorted, "You aren't in any more danger on the horse." Stepping into the stirrup, she swung her leg over its back. "Don't be stupid, Chas. Climb up. You can tie me up later if you'd like. But I'm not walking anywhere." I glared up at her.
"I don't trust you."
Her answering smile was hard. "I don't particularly trust you either, which is why you should know," she brushed the sheath at her thigh. "I'll gut you like a fish if you try anything."
I didn't move. Coco didn't either. Her eyes narrowed on my bandolier.
"Not good enough. Give me your knives."
"That isn't going to happen."
Lou tipped her face up to the sky, exhaling heavily.
"It's fine, Coco. I've kicked his ass before. I can do it again." "We're wasting time," Silly urged.
Jean-Luc shot me an impatient look.
"Just get on the horse, Reed." "Judas."
Reluctant, furious, I hoisted myself behind her, reaching around to take hold of the reins. She relinquished them freely.
"Be very careful," I warned her, voice low. "You may have magic, but you aren't the only one who can gut a fish."
She turned her face toward mine. "I'm not the only one who has magic, either."
When I nudged our horse into a trot, following the others, she asked,
"Have you heard them yet? The voices?"
I glared straight ahead.
"I am sound of mind."
"For now."
I ignored the bait, ignored her altogether, until...
"Beau said we're riding toward a castle?"
"Chateau Leblanc." She settled between my arms, heaving a terse sigh when I shoved her forward once more. "My ancestral home."
"You're going to rob it?"
I tried to keep my voice casual, cold. Only a dame blanche could locate the infamous chateau. Finally, I'd found one to lead me to it. How many years had my brethren searched? How many witches would I snare there, unsuspecting and defenseless? Would I unearth the great pythoness herself, la dame de Saussure? One could only hope.
If Lou couldn't return my memories, perhaps this was the next best thing. "We are going to rob it."
She didn't lean against me again. Unfortunately, her forward position fitted her backside more firmly between my legs. I gritted my teeth against the sensation.
"It'll be locked in the treasury, up in the highest room of the tallest tower. That's where my coven hides all their relics, cursed books and eternal flowers and magic rings alike."
"Your father would shit a brick, Celie,"
Beau called over his shoulder.
"Shut up, Your Highness,"
Jean-Luc fired back.
Celie spoke through her teeth. "I can speak for myself, Jean."
Lou chuckled before continuing.
"My mother allowed me inside only once, and the door was guarded by a powerful enchantment. We'll have to break it somehow, if we even manage to reach it.
Eyes surround the castle itself from all sides. Hundreds of witches live there year-round," she paused. "Even more now."
"Hundreds of witches."
"You said only the witch who casts the enchantment can break it."
"That's right."
I clenched my jaw in irritation, in disappointment.
"How will we break the enchantment on the door?"
She merely shrugged, her hair tickling my face, long and thick and brown, wild. Against my better judgment, I inhaled its scent. She smelled sweet in a way I almost recognized, like vanilla and cinnamon. A warm coat on a cold winter day, snow on my tongue. I shook my head, feeling thoroughly stupid.
"You have no strategy at all, do you?"
"I bottled several pints of L'Eau Melancolique."
The wind carried Coco's voice in an upward spiral. Lou strained forward to hear her, and I shifted away, cursing inwardly. Heat crept into my cheeks. My body didn't realize, of course, this wasn't a woman, but a witch.
"Maybe the waters will restore the door to what it was before the enchantment," Coco continued. "If not, my blood might. It's a different magic than yours."
Jean-Luc didn't hide his scorn. It's a door. We break it down. I scarcely heard the exchange. With each stride of the horse, the witch's backside moved against my lap, up and down, rhythmic, until heat suffused my entire body. I glared determinedly at the sky overhead. The situation had grown dire. Soon she would notice, and soon I would have to kill her for it.
Is there a problem, Shaz?
She murmured after another moment.
None,
I snapped. She said nothing for several seconds, then,
you can tell me if there is.
She cleared her throat. It sounded suspiciously like a laugh.
It must be hard,
riding with me like this.
I would have to kill her.
Seriously, Reed.
Lowering her voice, she turned to look at me in the saddle. I exhaled harshly at the movement.
Do I need to move?
The sudden earnestness in her expression startled me, as did the flush in her cheeks, the dilation of her pupils.
I can sit behind you.
Ahead of us, Beau glanced back at me before winking and whispering in Coco's ear. She laughed, feverish with rage or something else. I shook my head. Their sly behavior chafed, all of it. Though truthfully, one couldn't call them sly at all. Each communicated openly, if not clearly, which made it all the more infuriating. They were laughing at my expense. I just didn't know why. And I wouldn't be humiliated by a witch. I jerked my chin behind me.
Move!
She stood in the stirrups without hesitation, or tried. She couldn't reach both, instead standing on tiptoe atop each of my boots. She nearly lost her balance. I didn't help her, didn't touch her. Not until she pivoted to face me, her breasts at eye level. I nearly choked. Though she shimmied to maneuver around, they still brushed my cheek and I lurched backward. She smelled sweet. Too sweet. Swiftly, I wrapped an arm around her waist, propelling her behind me. She clutched my shoulders for balance. Her thighs cradled mine. I held back a groan. At least her breasts weren't in my face anymore. They were pressed into my back. God was trying to kill me. She slid her arms around my torso.
Is this better?
How do I restore my memories? I asked instead. Hideous shame tightened my chest. This physical response, I'd never felt it with such intensity. Worse, the ache didn't ease. It only strengthened with each passing moment. My body felt unfulfilled, like it knew what came next, like it craved it. But that was nonsense. It didn't know anything, didn't crave anything, and it certainly didn't recognize that sweet smell.
It'll be painful. I've only done it once.
And?
And I just sort of focused on the holes in the tapestry. I followed the loose threads.
I scoffed. Riddles.
No.
She squeezed me tighter, her wrist dangerously close to one of my knives. I didn't warn her.
It isn't a riddle at all. Think of a specific gap in your memory. Focus. Remember everything around it, the colors, the scents, the sounds. Logically, your mind will try to fill in the missing pieces, but subconsciously, each explanation will feel wrong.
She paused.
That's when you move on to the illogical ones, the magical ones.
Are you sure?
Think hard, Reed, please. Just think. I'm Lou, remember? I'm your wife.
Wanted dead or alive under suspicion of murder, conspiracy, and witchcraft.
I viciously rejected each thought. They simply weren't true. And despite what this creature claimed, they didn't feel right. They felt wrong in every way. Unnatural. I gripped the reins tighter, spurring our horse faster. I needed to recenter, to refocus. Plunging a knife in a witch's heart should do the trick. A simple, logical solution. Even better if she had freckles.